And welcome to worship here at West End. We're so glad each of you is here with us today. I have a few announcements for you. Tomorrow, the church will be closed for the Juneteenth holiday celebration. Next week is the Pride Festival here in Nashville, and we still need a few volunteers. So if you look at the QR code on the back of your bulletin, you can scan that and then sign up to help with us. We especially need folks to help us clean up. So that's always the most exciting job. Make sure you volunteer. Also, today is the last Sunday to register for VBS. So if you have a kiddo that you know and love, sign them up to be with us. It's gonna be a wonderful time. Also, mark your calendar, save the date for our church-wide sounds game. We're gonna go see some baseball together. You can have some popcorn. It's on July the 26th. July the 26th, we're gonna buy the tickets, all go together, it's a blast. And last but certainly not least, we would like to honor our preschool teachers. They do so much to take care of, encourage, and teach our kiddos. So our preschool teachers, we're gonna set up a banner. It's gonna be right out here in Reed Hall. It's already there. You can choose your marker color and write a note of gratitude and encouragement for our preschool teachers. And we're gonna hang it up down the stairs so that all of them can see it on their way to and from the preschool. So if you will write a little message at the end of this service, we would be most appreciative. This morning, I have the pleasure of introducing our preacher for this morning. Her name is Frances Merritt. Frances recently joined the West End family after retiring from a 46-year career at the United Methodist Publishing House, where the highlight of her career was being able to serve as the chaplain for the last 3 years. She enjoys the ministry here with homebound members, meeting new people, and hearing stories. In her spare time, she enjoys reading, going for long walks, and of course, a good shopping spree. She and her husband, Jimmy, will celebrate 50 years in marriage this December. Thank you, Frances, for delivering the word for us today. Now let us open our hearts, our very lives, to your Holy Spirit working among us.
Thank you. gather this morning to praise God's name. We gather this morning to learn of God's salvation. We gather this morning to accept God's grace. God's love is all around us. Let us come to the Lord with our confessions, prepared to receive the assurance of God's unfailing mercy. God of grace and healing, we confess that too often we do not trust in you. We look away from your love. We turn away from our neighbors, and we isolate ourselves in fortresses of comfort and solitude. Open our hearts so that we know we are loved and can love in return. Give us strength and enable us to channel your restorative power into the lives of those around us. Restore and enliven our faith so that your healing power freely flows in and through us, bearing witness to the God who heals and loves all. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And you can do that here in the sanctuary in whatever way feels most comfortable. And if you're online, you can do that through the chat or sending a text to a loved one. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he has received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite any kids who are in the sanctuary to come join me up at the front, and any children who are watching from home to move a little closer to your screen. All right. Hi, friends. So the story we just heard was about a man who Jesus helped and who he changed his life. And so we're going to read a story called Change Sings, which is about how we can be changed in the world, just like Jesus was. If you want to move to where you can see the pictures, you can do that. I can hear change coming in its loudest, proudest song. I don't fear change coming, and so I sing along. I scream with the skies of red and blue streamers. I dream with the cries of tried and true dreamers. I'm a chant that rises and rings. There is hope where my change sings. Though some don't understand it, those windmills of mysteries, I sing with all the planet and its hills of histories. I hum with 100 hearts, each of us lifting a hand. I use my strength and my smarts, take a knee to make a stand. I'm bright as the light each day brings. There is love where my change sings. I show others tolerance, though it might take some courage. I don't make a taller fence, but fight to build a better bridge. I talk not only of distances from where and how we came, I also walk our differences to show we are the same. I'm a movement that roars and springs. There's a wave where my change sings. Change sings where? There, inside me, because I'm the change I want to see. As I grow, it grows like seeds. I am just what the world needs. I'm the voice where freedom rings. You're the love your bright heart brings. We are the wave starting to spring, for we are the change we sing. We're what the world is becoming, and we know it won't be long. We all hear change strumming. Won't you sing along? The end. So the story reminds us that we can be God's love and light in the world and bring change wherever we go, just like Jesus did. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity to be your love and light in the world. Help us to change it and make it better for everyone we meet. We know that you will be with us all along the way. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can follow me and Pastor Stacy to Children's Church. I know.
Good morning. I'm Frances Merritt, and my sermon today is A Blind World, Jesus, the Light of the World. Two songs come to mind with this text. The first is the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, in which Newton says, in one of the stanzas, was blind, but now I see. An almost verbatim quotation of the man born blind in our text this morning. But it also comes to mind the song, Jesus is the Light, Light of the World. Because the religious authorities were blind of the light of the world. Our sight is a wonderful gift from God. We marvel at the fiery colors of a sunset, the rich pastels of spring, and the delicate beauty of a flower. How tragic it must be to never see the light of day, never see a beautiful blue sky, never see an eclipse, trees, birds, never see a snowflake. I never see the faces of our parents. Yet, there is a far greater tragedy than physical blindness. In our text this morning, Jesus is walking along the city of Jerusalem. And he noticed a man who was born blind. There's no indication that this man cried out to Jesus, nor that anyone called Jesus' attention to this man. Jesus had healed many blind people in the Synoptic Gospel. But here, this man is born blind, which points out a seemingly most hopelessness. The man was born blind, and that fact sparked the disciples' question, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? The disciples wanted to call a business meeting right away. The disciples saw the man as an object of a theological discussion. But that's not what Jesus saw. Jesus had compassion for the man. Jesus saw the man as an object of mercy. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. He was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him and manifest in him. Jesus is saying that this is an opportunity for God to manifest his power in this man's life. Friends, whenever there's a suffering and hurt in the church, there is always an opportunity for us to do his work, to heal the brokenhearted, to give to the poor, and give sight to the blind. We must work while the opportunity is ours to manifest the grace of God to humankind. All of us must quickly carry out the tasks used by the one who sent us to open blind eyes, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. Jesus saw the man's blindness as something that could display God's glory. What Jesus said initially looks a bit confusing until you realize that he knew his time was limited. He saw the man and in the same time knew that his time was nearing before his death. He had clarity about his mission, as well as the limited time he had left on earth. He saw this man as someone who fit into the mission that God had given him. But not only did he see this man as being blind, he saw blind disciples. He saw a blind world. On the cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's like that with us when we see some people. What do we notice? I have to confess that I've looked at some people and been more interested in having a theological discussion rather than compassion for them or trying to help them in some way. Part of the problem is that we lack the urgency that Jesus has. We don't really see time is short. We look at people, we look at time, and we see something completely different than what Jesus sees. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's more than meets the eye here. As you remember, Jesus had originally called himself the light of the world in John chapter 9, verse 12. In the middle of the Feast of the Tabernacle, a feast that celebrated harvest and God's goodness and provisions. As part of the festivities, four golden candles were put into place, and oil was poured into a large gold bowl. The lamps rose around the wall of the temple and was so bright that they said the light lit up the entire city. The Levites led the celebration and musical instruments and sang and danced all night long. But the main candelabra was left until the last night, so that Israel will remember that their full salvation had not yet been realized. But all the lights in the temple could not open the eyes of the Jewish world. There were no real lights until Jesus came with the light from above. He stood up in the place where all the oil and their golden bowls and said to them, "Do you call this light? I am the light of the world." Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation. What happened next is pretty amazing. Jesus restored sight to a lot of people, but this is the only time that he restored the sight of someone who had been born blind. Some even think that he uses imagery for creation of God's forming life from dust as he restored life, as he restored the sight to this man. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with slava, and smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went. So the man went and washed and came back singing. The neighbors start talking. It didn't take long for the word to get out that something miraculous had happened to this blind beggar. Not only was he able to see, but he no longer was a beggar. Friends, when Jesus heals us, we are completely transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. We don't look the same. We have a new attitude. We don't act the same. We are anew in him. The neighbors were the first to notice the change. They couldn't believe that it was the same man. They kept saying, "Are you sure? It can't be him." Some maintained that the man only resembled the blind man. The man tells what happened. He did not tell everything about Jesus. All he knew was a man called Jesus. "I know nothing else about him." And he stood up to these religious leaders on what he knew. And we have to learn, friends, to stand up on what we know and what we don't know. He said to the religious leaders, "When I got up this morning, I could not see. When my parents woke me up, I couldn't see. But this man, Jesus, put some mud on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. This morning, I was blind, but this evening, I can see." They could not discredit the man. They took the man to the Pharisees. This is the religious institution of that day. Now, as it happens, Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath. The religious the Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them. He said, "He smoothed mud on my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man, Jesus, is not from God, but he is working on the Sabbath." Others said, "How can an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. They take him to his parents, and for fear, the parents sent him back to their son out of fear they would be put out of the synagogue. So they were limited on what they said to the Pharisees. When Jesus heals us, our mother or father cannot answer for us. We have to speak for ourselves. The parents were right when they told the religious leader that he was old enough to speak for himself. And I say to anyone here whose eyes have been opened by Jesus, no one can tell your story but you. You are old enough to speak for yourself, because the man spoke for himself. The religious leaders became angry and they excommunicated him. They put him out of the synagogue. Church, they will put you out when you can see Christ beyond the institutional church. They will put you out. But don't be afraid to be put out. For the scripture says, when they put him out, Jesus came. If you stand for him, when they put you out, he will come and give you more light. Jesus said to the man, "I have come to judge the world. I have come to give sight to the blind and to show those who think that they can see that they are blind." This is when you get the idea that the story is about more than a man being given sight. It is also a commentary on how some of us as religious people can be so blind when it comes to seeing what Jesus sees. The disciples can't see. They saw a theological discussion rather than a man in need of help. The Pharisees couldn't see. They were conducting an investigation. Lives were being changed. But a blind man saw, not only physically, but spiritually. Thank God for giving this dark world the light. For later night comes to Jesus at Calvary. But those disciples remembered his message that he said, "I must work while this day." But that was not all they remembered. He said to them, "You are the light of the world." He calls us to be the light as he was in the world. We must let our light shine. Amen.
One of the ways that we heal ourselves and one another is by professing our faith openly. If you will stand in body or in spirit and turn to page 883 in your hymnal, we will profess together the United Church of Canada's statement of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayer requests. If you'd like to share your prayer request with someone on the pastoral team, you can fill out the gray card in the pew rack in front of you and put it in the offering plate in a few moments. Those of you worshiping with us online, you can click the Contact Us link or follow the directions on the screen, and we will pray for you throughout the week. Our deepest sympathies are extended to Peggy Sewell and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, LaRon Thompson, who passed away in Canadian, Texas, on June 11th. Services were held there on June the 16th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Liberating God, we give you thanks for the celebration of Juneteenth today. We invoke your spirit to fall afresh on all people who claim the historical declaration of freedom. God of joy, bless all those who proclaim the spiritual reality of liberation, and give courage and grit to all who work for justice in our country and our world. We are grateful for stories and voices of Black strength and power, both in our midst and passed throughout the generations. We thank you for songs that stir our hearts and shake our souls. Guide us to make marginalized voices heard. We grieve and pray for the community of Vestavia Hills and mourn for people killed at the hands of gun violence. How long, O God, will we pray to end the violence? Lord, give us a kingdom imagination to see and create a world without violence, starting with our own hearts and actions. Heavenly Father, we also pray a special blessing on fathers, parents who swaddle babies, those who cut the crusts off sandwiches, and those who shout loud in the stands. Give your loving presence to those who never experienced what it was like to have a nurturing dad, and bless those who grieve the loss of their fathers and father figures. We give you deep gratitude for all the people in our lives who bring patience, peace, passion, and playfulness to our lives. On this Sunday, we praise you, the spirit of life and love and liberation, and we are grateful for the ways that you are father, mother, conspirator, and friend. Thanks be. And together we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings today, we recognize that everyone's in a different financial situation. So please give as you are able, so we might continue our vital ministries in this neighborhood, city, and throughout the world. For those of you who are worshiping online, you can follow the directions on the screen or see the directions in the chat. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our very lives to a God who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with all of you. Amen.